It's time to talk Mariners baseball.
Holy smokes!
With spring training just around the corner, we're geared up for baseball.
This is at the wall, and it is gone into the bullpen for a two-run homer. Some serious hang time from Nelson Cruz.
It's the Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Sports app.
And from Peoria, Arizona, welcome to our very first edition of the Cactus League Report. From spring training 2018, the Mariners are getting ready for a brand new campaign. Hi again, everybody. I'm Rick Riz, along with Shannon Dreyer, producer-engineer Gary Hill. We've got a full 2 hours of Mariners talk, spring training getting underway, pitchers and catchers reporting back on February the 14th. The entire squad 5 days later, here it is. Now just a couple of days away from our first Cactus League game of the season, where the Mariners take on the San Diego Padres right here from the Peoria Sports Complex. And that's where we're broadcasting tonight from. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to visit with Scott Service, Mariners skipper, in the first hour. We'll have two segments with Scott. We'll also visit with new Mariners center fielder D. Gordon, an all-star Gold Glove second baseman traded away, acquired by Jerry DePoto from the Miami Marlins back in December, and he's going to be out there playing center field. Visit with D. Gordon. And then in the second hour, we're going to visit with Mariner catcher Mike Zunino. I don't think there's a player that has more on their plate than a catcher at spring training, catching all the different pitchers in camp, the starters, the relievers, getting to know everybody. Mike Zunino was busier than anybody last year with 40 different pitchers. We'll also visit with Anthony Castrovince from MajorLeagueBaseball.com. So welcome to Peoria, Arizona, everybody. We have a heck of a show for you. Rick Riz along with Shannon Dreyer. And, Shannon, it's great to see the guys on the field. Today was photo day. So the guys had their photos for different media purposes, and a lot of television stations were down here as well. The guys were busy today.
They were busy. It's one of those things that they like to get out of the way for spring training. But if you ever wonder, you know, where do all the baseball card pictures come from? Where do all the you know, publicity pictures that you see around town or up in the stadium, where do they come from? That's, they take care of that down here. So the guys had on their home whites, as they were kind of prated before green screens, and did a number of different things. But that's out of the way now. And, you know, that kind of time is pretty important right now down here, because it is a shorter amount of time between reporting and when the games begin. We are just 2 days away from games right now, but that was out of the way, and you'll see the results of that as the season goes on.
Exactly. And Gary Hill, that's what I really liked watching today, was Topps, the baseball card company, was down here today. As a kid, I started collecting cards back in 19 whatever year that was, 1959. I was 6 years old. And it was great to see the guys, you know, pitchers in their pose and a windup and Kyle Seager swinging the bat. And it just reminded me of all those baseball cards, the thousands of cards that I collected. Remember, for a nickel, you had 5 cards in that delicious,
I don't remember that.
Sweet gum. Oh, well, okay, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. That's right. I'm a little older than you are. But all the smell of that stale pink bubble gum inside those pack of 5 cards. But to see that brought back a lot of great memories, because that's going to show up as a baseball card.
I was always surprised I didn't chip more teeth on that dump, but I never did. I loved collecting baseball cards growing up. It was the absolute best. I am so with you on that. Seeing the poses and everything else, it's so great.
Yeah.
Brings me back.
It really does. So today, a busy day for the players, getting on the field, taking batting practice, and getting ready for the spring. And, Shannon, it's going to be an interesting spring because of the timing of things. We're going to have 16 night games during the course of the Cactus League game season.
12? Yeah.
Okay. Well, 12.
Lots.
And it's so, you know, I like to get up early, but I'm going to be able to sleep in a few days.
Yeah, that's going to be an adjustment. It's not just the games, but they're starting their workouts a lot later. It's really strange to, you know, some of the early workouts, they're starting the workout just about when they would be leaving in years past. There used to be, I'm sure Scott Service will get into this a little bit, but a real theory that, you know, you get there very early and you put the coffee on and you sit around and you're a hero because you're there at 6:30 in the morning, even though they're not doing anything until 8:30, and they really don't want that anymore. There's a big focus on rest and recovery, and they think that that is important not just through spring training but throughout the entire year. It starts here, And I think that in a large part they're trying to get spring to mimic as much as they possibly can the regular of the season, which only makes sense. I think we've all felt it a little bit. You go from spring training where you're at the complex. I know your interview is always very early with the skipper, Rick.
Yeah.
At the complex, 7:30, 8 in the morning, and you're playing your games, and then you're home by 5 and asleep probably by 9. And then all of a sudden, just you flip the switch, it's game time, regular season. And you're not getting home until after midnight. Your games aren't ending until 10:30 and whatnot. So I think kind of in an effort to not have to go through that adjustment, they're making that adjustment down here. And most of the night games will be kind of in that second half of spring training as you kind of build up to toward the regular season.
And the regular season gets underway early this year, March the 29th, out at Safeco Field when the Mariners open up against the Cleveland Indians. And Gary, there's always great stories during the course of the spring. And I walked into the clubhouse for the first time. We got in yesterday afternoon, walked into the clubhouse for the first time. A lot of new faces. And I was asking Pete Fortune and the guys in the clubhouse, who's this guy? Who's that guy? And there's always a great story along the way.
That's the best part, right? I mean, you never know who is going to jump off the page, who's going to make a name for themselves, and maybe not necessarily make the team first day, but someone we may see down the road during the course of the season. I mean, who's going to make a big impact when this team really needs it during the course of the year? And we find out some of those names during the course of this spring training. I love that part as well.
And it's great, obviously, to see the familiar faces on this ball club. Robbie Cano, back for his fifth season with the club. And, of course, Nelson Cruz, who led the American League in runs batted in last year with 119. And King Felix, Felix Hernandez, James Paxton, what a year for him. Of course, the storyline this year will be health. And right off the bat, a couple of injuries to really some key players early in the spring.
They are, and you hate to see that, but I think there's a kind of reason for optimism with both of them. Ryan Healy only supposed to be down 4 to 6 weeks, and not just down. They say he should be game ready by the end of that period. We spoke with him yesterday, got a little Band-Aid on the top of his hand where the stitches are. They are hoping he can get back out on the field next week and start fielding drills. Can't pick up the bat yet, but he's been hitting with the bottom hand. He's been tracking pitches, trying to stay as sharp as he possibly can. If it's 4 weeks, that'll get him back with about 2 weeks of games to go. I think there's a decent chance that he could make opening day. And if it's 6 weeks, that is opening day. But regardless, they don't believe he's going to be out any more than 10 days, if that, at the beginning of the season. So you're hoping that you're able to get him out there. And Erasmo Ramirez, I spoke with him yesterday, spoke with him again today, and you know, it sounded a little daunting when he heard, okay, you've already got a little bit of a lat strain. They are very optimistic that they shut him down quick enough that it hasn't turned into anything. Erasmo says he feels nothing with it right now. Of course, he's not throwing or doing any baseball activities, but in his day-to-day movements has not felt it at all. And he said that when they shut him down, it was actually progressing at that point, just not quick enough. And they thought, you know what, this time of the year, there is no need to play through anything. Let's go ahead and just stop right now. So we won't know with Erasmo until he actually picks up a baseball again, but cross your fingers that doesn't look terribly serious.
And health will be a lot of our conversation. I mean, there's not a lot. You look at the roster and how it sits, there's not a lot of jobs to be won. There's a few that we'll be watching in certain areas, but I think health is going to be what we're watching most this spring training.
And a few changes in baseball. We're going to talk about, the pace of play, and they're going to try to pick things up. Only 6 visits to the mound, unless you go out and make a pitching change, in a 9-inning game. So I talked to Mike Zunino about that. You'll hear that from Mike, what he thinks about, that change in the rules. Right now, the time is now to join the club as a Mariners season ticket holder. Lock in the best seats at the best prices to catch all of the action at Safeco Field in 2018. For more information on the many benefits you're going to enjoy as a season ticket holder, log on to Mariners.com/18. We are underway. The Cactus League Report from the Peoria Sports Complex, our first edition of the Cactus League Report down here in Arizona. Coming up next, we're going to visit with the skipper, Scott Servais, right after this timeout.
Back to more of the Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
And welcome back to our first edition of the Cactus League Report from the Peoria Sports Complex. Rick Riz along with Shannon Dreher and Gary Hill. And right now, our special guest here in the first hour of the show is Mariners skipper Scott Servais. Scott, it's great to have you come by the booth tonight as we get ready for the opening game in a couple of days, Friday afternoon against the San Diego Padres. Can you already believe it's your third year as a big league skipper with this organization? Time flies when you're having fun.
It really has gone fast. It's amazing how much I've learned the first 2 years in the job. I think coming in this spring training, much more comfortable. The biggest thing is our roster. We just don't have as much turnover on our roster. So certainly we've got a couple new guys with D. Gordon and Ryan Healy in the mix here and Juan Nicasio. But, you know, the core of our team is back intact. It's the same faces. It's healthy bodies, which is great to see. Yeah. So we're excited to get going here in Cactus League play.
You know, you always have a speech for the guys when they come in. Pitchers and catchers reported on the 14th, the rest of the club on the 19th. What did you tell the guys when they first showed up this spring?
We had a very good talk. Yesterday was our first full squad, and you have all offseason to kind of prepare and what the message is going to be. And certainly we've got things to work on this spring. There's deficiencies in our club. We've got to get better at our base running, and our pitching, keeping the guys healthy is going to be really focused for us. So when we get to opening day, we're rested and we're ready to go. The message yesterday is, every team has to deal with adversity throughout the course of the season. I think we just saw, the Super Bowl, the Eagles win it. They lost their starting quarterback. It looked like their season was over. They dealt with adversity very well. Certainly the Astros dealt with some adversity last year on their way to win the World Series. So we will have our share this year as well. You know, it's how we deal with it, how we react to it, and how we move forward. So I guess in a nutshell, that was kind of the basis of the talk, but I kind of expanded upon different things there. And one of the questions I asked our team is, why are we here? Why do we do what we do? And threw it right at a few of the guys, and got the answer I was looking for. So it was a good meeting.
You've already been hit with a little bit of adversity, a couple of early injuries, Ryan Healy with the hand. Things look pretty optimistic for him getting back in reasonable order, and then Erasmo Ramirez as well. What are the latest on them?
Well, the reports on Ryan are very, very positive. You know, he went in there and they had a little incision. They took a little piece of a bone out, or bone spur was removed. He's healing very quickly. There's not any swelling. The initial prognosis is, 4 to 6 weeks. It's definitely going to be closer to the 4 week period, based on what I'm hearing and seeing. And, Ryan's chomping at the bit to get out there and be part of this thing. So that's definitely very positive. And what it could have been, it turned out probably the best case scenario for us. So that's a good one. Erasmo, a little setback after his first bullpen. It's a lat strain. He's not going to touch a ball for 2 weeks. At that point, he'll get reevaluated, and we'll see where we go from there. Always a little bit touchy with starting pitching because you need the time to get him stretched out. So when he takes him out, it's just not go out there and throw an inning or two that he could actually go 4 or 5 innings. So I'm not quite sure where that's going to end up or where it's going to lead to. But for right now, we're in a holding pattern. Give him some time down and let it calm down.
When you look at the spring in general and look at your club, what will make a good spring training for the Seattle Mariners this year?
Health. That's pretty simple. It's making sure. I think sometimes players get the feeling when they leave spring training, they're exhausted. They're tired. The goal this year is when we leave spring training and when we tee it up on March 29th against Cleveland, we're excited, we're fresh, we're ready to go. And I think, with the adjustment in our schedule this spring, I definitely think it's going to help. We got 12 night games down here in Arizona. It's more of what we normally do in our season. So I think that'll be a benefit. Also kind of how we spread out playing time is going to be a little bit different. In the past, you would kind of ramp guys up and play them a ton the last week of the, exhibition season. May not see that this year. You might see the bulk, the heavy lifting of the workload of our players, our position players, happen more towards the middle of camp. And then we back off a little bit at the end. So, we're trying some different things. I've put a lot of thought into this thing, and it's so important, I think, for us to be in a good spot health-wise, be fresh with our legs, and get off to a good start, and hopefully that helps.
Speaking of fresh with your legs, I had a great conversation with D. Gordon this morning. I love this kid. The respect that he has for his teammates and the media. And the game of baseball, growing up in a baseball family, Tom Gordon was one of the best closers in the game of baseball at the time. Man, was he tough. And his younger brother, Nick, is a shortstop in the Twins organization. But he makes the transition from an all-star Gold Glove second baseman to center field. What have you seen so far in this young man to make that move out to center field? I know it's very early in the spring.
It is. He's very gifted. He's a great athlete. Everybody knows he's one of the fastest guys in Major League Baseball, so we're hoping that transition is smooth. He's got very good, very high baseball IQ. He understands the game. Certainly understands it very well from the offensive side and the base running side. Also defensively, I think he's going to going to grasp onto this thing really quickly and take it and run with it. I'm excited to have him in our clubhouse. It's a different personality. It's very, very outgoing, very dynamic. He's got the ability to kind of touch base and relate to a lot of different players within our clubhouse. He's just kind of a happy-go-lucky. He's very easy to talk to. He's got a smile on his face, and the work ethic has been off the chart. Since the day we acquired him, you know, he's quick to get out into center field. And his goal, I think, was to come into spring training and look like an outfielder. And he does. He really does. It doesn't look like an infielder just threw a different glove on. You know, he has been working at some things, and it's been a smooth transition so far.
He also brings a lot of the flash. I noticed the gold cleats today. That was the first time in the batting cage. And then he had a little bling on the wrist as well, which is something I hadn't seen before
I love it.
Out of the field.
I love it. Be who you are, right? And, you know, you can bring some of the swag along with you. I do like everything he brings. He does have a respect for the game. He really does. He plays it the right way. You'll see him busting down the line. He'll be doing the little things that I think fans appreciate. We all love to see the 450-foot home run, but I think that's the beauty of baseball is they come in all different shapes and sizes, and there's different ways to impact the game. And certainly D is gifted with the speed he has, and he's able to impact the game a number of ways, and hopefully it plays out in center field as well.
You mentioned his personality. As a skipper, how important is it to you to have kind of a personality mix in a clubhouse?
Very important. I think you need to have a diverse group. We certainly do. We've got a strong Latin contingent of players. You know, we've you know, obviously Seager's been here for a while, coming from where he comes from and over North Carolina area. Healy's a Southern California guy. Zanino, Florida. I mean, they're all spread out. So I think, you know, bringing the group together, it's not so much where they come from, but hopefully you can bring them all together. And so they really appreciate and embrace being a Seattle Mariner. And, you know, I know the guys that have been here for a while understand that. D. Gordon quickly getting in the mix here. He wants to be part of a winner. And we've talked a lot about that this spring, what it's going to take to get us to the next level. And it's going to take a lot of attention to detail. It's going to be taking care of the small things. The small things end up being big things. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much about one player having a terrific season and that guy carrying us. We've got a very good team. And I think if everybody just does their job, we've got a chance to have a great year.
I like the offense and the makeup of your lineup, Skip. You know, taking a look at your ball club, Gamble and Gordon and Haniger in the outfield, and you got Heredia and you got Seager and Segura and Cano, the future Hall of Famer, and eventually Ryan Healy back over there at first base, and Zunino and Nelson Cruz is your DH. Where are the battles? What jobs are there to be won on your ball club right now going into the first game on Friday?
You know, our lineup is more set than it has been in recent years. You know, certainly we need to figure out the backup catcher situation and how that plays out. I think there's a couple spots in the bullpen that'll be a good competition, and how that does wind down here as the camp goes on. You know, starting pitching with Erasmo, not quite knowing if he's going to be ready to go or not. That might leave the door open for somebody else there to step up. You know, so there are some battles out there. You know, at first base, if Healy isn't quite ready for opening day, you know, how does that play out? So, you know, plenty of things to watch and evaluate here as we go on.
Visiting with the skipper, Scott Servais, here in the Cactus League Report from the Peoria Sports Complex, and we'll be back with more with the skipper after this timeout.
All things Mariners, all off-season. The Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
And again, welcome back to the Cactus League Report. We are reporting from the Peoria Sports Complex, where in a couple of days the Mariners take on the San Diego Padres, visiting with manager Scott Servais, Rick Riz, along with Shannon Dreher and Gary Hill. And Skip, tell us a little bit about what you saw from Felix Hernandez, the health of this ball club. You addressed that. I mean, last year, 17 different starters, 40 different pitchers. And James Paxton, what have you seen so far early in the spring with Felix and with Paxton and the starting rotation in general?
Yeah, saw Felix throw his bullpen, second bullpen yesterday, which was much better than his first one, which is as expected. But, you know, Felix, we've talked about being on a little bit different program or schedule this spring, kind of going through the normal spring schedule. Felix has always been kind of slow to get started in the spring most times because he was coming off a heavy workload the year before. That's not the case with the amount of time he missed last year. So we gave him a heads up about a month and a half outside of camp. He knew coming in. He was prepared. He'd thrown a couple of bullpens before he got here. And he is not in midseason form yet, nor should he be.
Sure.
You know, but I think the reason we wanted him to get him going earlier was he has time to work on things and he doesn't have to ramp it up, you know, right at the end when it gets close to the bell ringing here at the start of the season. So I feel good about where he's at. I saw James Paxton throw to live BP today. You know, he looks really good, healthy. All of his pitches are working, no issues there. You know, Mike Leake is Mike Leake. He's a pro. He knows how to get ready. Marco Gonzalez has been a nice surprise. He's, you know, got his full repertoire of pitches now. Last year was his first full year off of Tommy John. He really hadn't thrown much. His cutter, it was the pitch to keep the right-handed hitters honest. We've seen him break that out already this spring. It could be a real weapon for him and widen the plate. So everybody's known he's got a good changeup, and I think the cutter, adding that to his mix, will really help him. So, you know, there's other young guys that have looked well and impressive. Our bullpen, I can go on and on. I really like the bullpen arms. We've got a lot of depth down there. We've got a lot of power down there, but again, pitching, it's you go look at some bullpens and everybody looks great, and you look at live BP and everybody looks awesome, and okay, let's start the game. And sometimes things change there. So I'm realistic on where we're at, but for the most part, the guys are healthy. They're feeling good. The ball's coming out good.
You are going to get into your pitching depth at some point of this season. Hopefully not as much as you did last year, but there's a reason why you have pitching depth. And if you look at last year, I suppose a positive would be that Ariel Miranda got a full year in the big leagues. Andrew Moore made his big league debut and saw big league hitters. Getting that experience is important. But beyond that, what are steps forward you would like to see some of those guys specifically take?
Well, you hit on that. We said all year, last year, the silver lining was going to be the fact that all these guys did get experience. And there's 21 pitchers in our camp right now that pitched for us at Safeco Field last year. That's a big number, and we haven't had that number the last couple of years. So all those guys got experience. Some of them maybe a little bit more than we wanted or they were ready for, but they do have that experience. I think now's the you find out a lot about people. And you know, in Andrew Moore's case, it's really the first time in his career he ever struggled. And you find out a lot about people when they do struggle or they face adversity, and can they bounce back and what adjustments do they make? You know, he has looked very good this spring so far, and there's a couple adjustments our pitching group, Mel and Jim Brower and Brian DeLunas have brought to his attention. He's addressed it, and hopefully it continues and shows well on the field once the games start. But, you know, Miranda, obviously everybody knows what got him last year was the long ball. He gave up a lot of home runs. That came from getting in, you know, bad counts, getting deep in the count. Miranda's got a good fastball, but when they know it's coming and it's not located in a perfect spot, and he is a fly ball pitcher, the results weren't great all the time. I will say that he had some great outings for us. I think we lose sight of the fact that, you know, he had some really solid outings. But, again, you know, the home run ball, what do we do to combat that? You know, he's got to use a little bit more secondary pitches and get command of those pitches. He can throw them in 3-2 and 2-2 counts and not always rely on the fastball. So, you know, talking to those two guys specifically, they certainly got things to work on here in camp. That's something we talk about. That's what the spring training's for, you know, making adjustments, trying some different things, trying to add a pitch here or there or adding some tract off other pitches. So, you know, you're always trying things, and you never know what's going to click, but the nice thing about our group is that our guys are very open, that they want to learn, they want information. It's up to us to give them the good information.
James Paxton last year was really unhittable at times and piled up some really good numbers. You look at him coming into this season, what are your expectations of James Paxton this year?
For that stretch he had last year, I think he was American League Pitcher of the Month. I don't know if he can get any better. It was just dominant. And for a while, people started mentioning his name, possible Cy Young race, you know, and obviously the injuries took him off the rails. The big thing with Paxton, he knows it. We've talked about it a lot. Take the ball. You know, you got to stay healthy. He stays healthy. The numbers are kind of take care of themselves. So he's done a lot of different things this offseason. The one thing about Pax is he's very inquisitive. He'll do a lot of research. He's trying to find things out there that not just baseball players but our athletes are doing to get the most out of their body, from their nutrition to sleep patterns to the different sports science, you know, people out there that have things to offer. So I think he's found some things. He's really in a good spot. His body's in great shape. I know his arm's working well. I saw that today. So I look for him to kind of continue to take the next step. And that for me is you know, like being that top echelon, five or 10 pitcher in the American League. Like when you go out there, it's like you're shocked if the guy doesn't go seven innings, you know, and you don't win the ball game. You just expect to win every time he takes the mound. So he's working his tail off. He's in a really good spot right now.
Yeah, you know, with that guy, he has a chance to give the bullpen a little bit of a breather every 5 days, and you mm-hmm. need that guy in your rotation. Skip, some new rule changes coming up this year. Your thoughts on that, where now six visits out to the mound.
Like, are you going to count them down for me?
No, because I won't be able to keep track. So I was going to ask you, Manny Acta, your new bench coach, is he going to be like an NBA assistant, like you got four more timeouts left or trips to the mound? And the other interesting part is that I was talking with Mike Malinsky, who's a major league umpire. He flew down on the flight with us a few days ago. He said, If an infielder comes in and relocates and talks to the pitcher, it could possibly be a visit to the mound. And they were going to go over that in a conference call yesterday. So your thoughts about the six visits to the mound and how that's, you see that playing out?
Yeah, the players on the field really play into the counting up the number of visits. You know, if Zanino runs out there and wants to talk strategy or whatever, that counts as a visit. If Eddie Diaz is out there and he's struggling and Robbie Cano wants to come in and calm him down, counts as a visit. If Kyle Seager's at third base and it's first and second and we want to put a bunt play on and Kyle walks into the mound to tell the pitcher what the play is, that's a visit. So you've got to be cognizant of everything that's going on around you. We've talked to our players a little bit about it. We'll get in a little bit more depth there once the games start in a couple of days. They will start doing it in spring training.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much, you know, Mel or myself, but when I go to the mound, I usually make a change, and that does not count into the six visits when you go ahead and make a pitching change. So it'll be a little bit of an adjustment. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal, quite frankly. Our players will be more aware of it. But like I told Z, you got to go to the mound in the first, second, and then go to the mound. You know, we'll worry about this, where the visits are in the seventh and eighth. Let's keep our starting pitcher in the game and keep him in a good spot. So I don't want to slow that down at all. But, you know, it will be a little adjustment. Teams will talk about it. The players will adjust. And I think it will move the game along a little bit quicker. How much? I'm not sure.
I think you mentioned base running is a focus this spring and always, I think I did mention that. How do you handle these early games? I know some years it's let's test it out and send them, see how they can run, or do you approach that a little bit differently? Do you approach it like in season right off the bat? Do everybody have the green light? Nobody have the green light? What are you doing with Seager?
Well, yes. I think the base running is so much more than just stealing bases. You know, first of all, so, you know, the guys that typically have the green light in the regular season will have it in spring. In spring training, the guys who don't won't. You know, that'll be coming from the bench. We want our guys to put pressure, you know, on the defense, and we want to be aggressive. I would much rather have us take a few more chances in spring training. We had a very good meeting today as far as setting the tone and the mindset about how we're going to go after this thing and why we need to get better. You know, base running is a mindset, and it's kind of shows you what kind of teammate you are. That's something we talked about today, because, you know, you've kind of done your thing. You've either gotten a hit or however you gotten on base. That's the statistic that's tied to your name. But there's also a big number. I know D. Gordon pays a ton of attention to it. It's runs scored. You know, last year, I think our team scored about 750 runs. The Astros led the league at 896. I look back at the great Mariners teams. Everybody goes back to 2001. They won 116 games. It was scored over 900 runs. I think our offense is what makes us dangerous. I don't want to lose sight of what we do really, really well. I think we're going to score a lot of runs, but we can't give up outs on the bases. That is the key thing. Is, you know, we got 27 to play with on the offensive side. Let's make them get us out in the batter's box and not on the bases. So decision-making, awareness, putting pressure, all those things have been talked about. Now we've got to put in play. Practicing a lot, talking about it is one thing. Putting it in play in the game is another thing. So we certainly got guys that are capable of being more aggressive. If you start talking about the Gamels and the Hannigers and, you know, I don't know about Seegers and Eno, but, you know, with D. Gordon at the top of the lineup, what Gene Segura can do on the bases, we do need to work that into our game and really use it as a weapon.
That's going to be fun to watch with those two guys at the top of the order and the big guys hitting behind them. Scott, I've got a lot more questions for you. I'm going to save them for Friday morning.
Friday morning.
First manager's interview.
It's the first
196?
We've got 32 spring training games, and we got 162 plus the playoffs. We're headed towards over 200 this year. Guys.
I love it. I hope we do about 250 interviews.
That'd be awesome.
We'll save this. Thanks a lot for coming by tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I'm looking forward to get started. And again, appreciate all the support. And it's been crazy how many Seattle people are down here.
Yeah.
You know, coming down early, spring training, getting autographs, hanging out with our players and our coaching staff. It's been great to see. It's, you know, understanding that the fan support up in the Pacific Northwest means a lot to us, and it's great to see those people down here.
It's going to be a fun year. Skipper Scott Service. Scott, thanks for coming by. Coming up next, you're going to really enjoy watching this young man play and listen to his interviews. He is really something. New Mariners center fielder D. Gordon coming up your way next after this timeout.
Back to more of The Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Welcome back to the Cactus League Report. We have a great interview for you coming up. Rick Riz sitting down with D. Gordon, and of course you can buy more and save. Discounted tickets available for groups of 20 or more, flexible seating options, private hospitality, picnic packages, all available to complete your group stay at the ballpark. For more info and to book your 2018 group rate, visit mariners.com/groups. Great to have you with us, and you're really going to enjoy this conversation. Rick Riz with D. Gordon.
Well, a chance to visit with the new Mariners center fielder, D. Gordon. D., thanks a lot for the visit. We really appreciate it. Spring training 2018 is underway. It's great to see you in a Mariners uniform after coming up with the Dodgers in the last 3 years with the Miami Marlins. A lot of success in Miami. Got to ask you, first of all, right out of the chute, what was your thought when, back in December, you found out that you were traded away to the Seattle Mariners?
At first, I was like, man, I've got to change positions. But then, you know, that subsided real quick. You know, talked to some guys who play here, and they told me how great, you know, this organization was, and I was excited.
Talking about changing positions, you were an all-star at second base in Miami, won a gold glove, and now all of a sudden they said, you know, why don't you go out there and play center field? Tell me a little bit about, first of all, buying a glove. Did you go to Dick's Sporting Goods to try to find a glove, an outfielder's glove?
Yeah, I had to go find an outfielder's glove. That glove ain't work out too well, so I actually don't have a clue where it is right now at this moment. But, yeah, I had to make sure I get one because I never had one before.
Maybe Ken Griffey Jr. can loan you one of his old ones. Besides, 2 days later, you're working with Ken Griffey Jr. What was that like, and how did that come about?
I called him up. He lives down the street from me. And I was like, Mr. Griffey, I need your help. He was like, all right, I'm here for you. Anything you need, just let me know. And we got together.
What did he tell you as far as playing center field? Because for all those years, I saw him come up as a kid, as a 19-year-old kid in 1989. He was the best I've ever seen out there in center field. What advice did he give you about making that transition, about playing center field?
Just how to read the ball, you know, how to judge the wind, how to judge different things, playing on the wall, things like that. He helped me a lot.
Games are going to be getting underway here real soon in the next couple of days. And the thinking is that if you can play outfield here in Arizona, you can play outfield anywhere. The high sky, the wind, the bright sunshine. So this is going to be a great test for you. What have been some of the challenges so far going from a position where in the middle of the infield to covering all that space out in straightaway center field and into the gaps?
Honestly, it's just like is seeing the guys next to me. You know, in BP, if you're shagging, you're just running around and a bunch of guys are out there with you. So now it's going to be me out there with guys, you know, telling them where I'm moving, talking, things like that. I know what to say on the infield. So, you know, the chatter in the outfield I'm getting used to.
Visiting with new Mariners center fielder D. Gordon. D., let's go back a few years and find out about yourself growing up in Florida. You were an outstanding basketball player. Great basketball player in high school. All of a sudden, your senior year, somebody had the great idea to say, hey, why don't you start swinging the bat and play baseball? Senior year, you play baseball. You end up going to college to play baseball. Whose wonderful idea was it for you to put basketball on the shelf a little bit and start to play baseball?
Well, what happened was my dad made a bet with me that if I played baseball, he'd get me a car.
Whoa.
Play baseball. He didn't get me a new car. He gave me like his fishing car. Like it's like this, the first car I ever drove like by myself on a regular was a Jeep Wrangler, and it was stick shift. So I was like, oh my God. So I was, you know, stalling out everywhere in front of girls and everything. So it was definitely his bright idea.
So how close were you to keep going with the basketball route?
Honestly, on graduation day, my dad and my uncle sat there, you know, in my grandmother's kitchen and was like, we think you should play baseball. Half of my uncles, I can look on their face, they're kind of mad about it because I was so talented in basketball. And the other half was just like, yeah, you're going to play baseball. So I have no choice.
Okay, now let's tell the folks, your dad is Tom Gordon. I watched your dad many, many years. Your dad was one of the best closers in the game of baseball. He had one of the nastiest curveballs I've ever seen, you know, broadcasting games and hitters have ever seen. You just told me a few minutes ago you could hit your dad's curveball. Is that right?
Yeah, my dad. Yeah, Dad, I hit your curveball all the time. You know it.
Obviously, he was huge in helping you make that decision. But growing up, what do you remember about your dad as a major league pitcher?
Just seeing how professional he was, how he went about his business every day, how he didn't take a break on the mound. He was so relentless every single day. And, you know, I just kind of want to be that way, but kind of be have a little bit more fun than him because I play every day. So just my dad was relentless. And, I mean, I try to be that way, but it's kind of hard for me.
Yeah. Remember your dad, little guy with a huge curveball. Let's talk more about D. Gordon. D, watching you, you really came into your own, coming up with the Dodgers, hit 300, 200 hits in the National League, won a National League batting title a couple of years ago with the Miami Marlins. When did you find out that you could be that type of guy, putting the bat on the ball as often as you did? You also had some good years, an all-star year with the Dodgers as well. When did it come together for you?
Honestly, I've always been able to hit. Like, I've never not been able to hit. I don't hit for a lot of power, but, like, consistently put the barrel on the ball, I've always been able to do that. And going into 2013, I was going up and down with the Dodgers. And, you know, one day when I came down, I told the hitting coach I never want to come back here. So teach me how to hit the correct way so I can teach myself when things are messed up there. Instead, I have to wait on the coach to fix me because, you know, coaches got 15 other guys they got to work out with.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be able to be a guy to help myself as quick as possible and turn things around. And so we just started taking those necessary steps. And once we started taking those steps, it became better and better, and the game started slowing down.
What did he teach you that you realized in your swing you could fix it right away if things were going south a little bit?
We took it to a point where I was swinging so hard down on baseball that I could hit a chopper probably two feet in front of me. And, you know, we started working off of that, actually, and to smooth out my swing even more. I've always had a really good swing, but I just need to refine it a little more. I kind of started missing myself a little bit, and he got me back right.
The part of your game I love watching is the fact that you can steal bases, 60 stolen bases. Last year to lead the National League, you led the National League three times in stolen bases with 58, 60, 60. What do you look for? What do you key on that says D. Gordon can take off?
It's just little subtle keys. These guys are so great at holding runners on now and being so fast to the plate and still, you know, reaching their max velocity. They definitely make it tough on me, but, you know, I'm up for the challenge. And I just key on, you know, the things that I work on and look at, you know, in the video room, at home, you know, during the game. I just try to make sure I'm the best I can be because I know my run counts for a lot.
Great baseball family. Your younger brother, Nick Gordon, shortstop with the Minnesota Twins. How's Nick doing? And what's it like growing up in that family with your dad and your uncles and you and Nick? What was that like for you?
It's awesome, man. It's awesome for me and my brother to continue the legacy. You know, I had some uncles who played professionally as well. They never made it to the big league. So for me, you know, to be the little guy that used to run around behind them while they were practicing and make it to the big leagues is pretty cool, actually. But my brother, he was groomed from the day he born to be a big leaguer. So, you know, I can't wait for that day to happen for him.
Visiting with D. Gordon. D, you hit one of the most inspirational home runs, I think, in the history of the game of baseball over the last 20 years. Sadly, your great friend Jose Fernandez passed away in a tragic boating accident with the Miami Marlins during the season. And the next day, you go up to home plate, I think with his batting helmet, and you don't hit home runs. You get on base. You steal bases. You hit 300. But this particular at-bat, you hit a home run. And you came up to home plate, and you know, you touched home plate, and we were very emotional. What in the world was that like for you, that home run?
Honestly, man, it was like anything, like a big situation. I'm pretty much confident in myself. But honestly, I didn't even want to swing at that pitch. It was a 2-0 pitch. I don't swing 2-0 too often. And for some reason, I just swung, and the ball went really far, you know. And when I looked up, I was like, well, I wouldn't believe it would have went any other way, honestly. I didn't surprise myself, if I can put it in a better context. And I definitely didn't try to go deep, but it happened. You know, my family always says God works in mysterious ways, and I guess that's what that moment was for me, you know, to show the world that we really loved Jose, and we're going to miss him.
Think Jose had something to do with that?
For sure, for sure. He was tapping God on the shoulder like, come on, man, let my boy go deep right here. Because, you know, me and him, it's crazy, me and him always joke, like, he'd be like, dog, you can go deep in BP. I seen you go deep in spring training. Why don't you hit homers? I was like, doggy, I'm saving them for a special moment. And that was it.
There was Rick Riz with D. Gordon, and Rick, we played that home run, and man, the images are amazing. The video, D. Gordon is in tears as he crosses home plate after hitting that home run. That it's incredible to see.
And now, so long after the fact of that tragic accident, doing the interview with D, you know, he was still very, very emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, he lost one of his best friends in his entire life, and it still shakes him to the core.
Mm-hmm.
After what happened, and to see him break down like that and to be helped from the field, I think it was Giancarlo Stanton who basically carried him from home plate and back to the dugout, and he said, you know, I don't hit home runs. And that day, that was a long home run.
It was a wallop,
It was a long home run. And he said at the end of the interview, Jose had something to do with it.
That was amazing. Great moment. Great conversation. That was fun to listen to. D. Gordon with Rick Riz. We'll come back with more right after this in the Cactus League Report.
All things Mariners, all off-season. The Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
And again, welcome back to the Cactus League Report, broadcasting from our broadcast vantage point here in Peoria at the Peoria Sports Complex, and you just heard the interview with D. Gordon. But right now, let's talk a little trivia. And here's the trivia question for the night. There are four active players in Major League Baseball with 500 or more doubles. Name one. The winner tonight will receive a 2018 St. Patrick's Day on-field cap. Call right now, toll-free, at 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. Those numbers again, toll free, 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. Enjoy the interview with D. Gordon. I'll tell you what, Shannon and Gary, manager Scott Service is going to have a lot of fun managing this ball club this year with that speed at the top of the order. D. Gordon, 60 stolen bases last year. Hopefully you'll have even more this year, Shannon.
And hopefully he has some friends that are stealing some bases, too. Mm. You heard the skipper talk about base running is more than that. But I really think the last few years we have not seen this team do what it can do on the bases. And you hope that a healthy Gene Segura, you know, he had leg troubles last year, perhaps can steal a few more bases this year as well. Ben Gamel at the bottom of the order can steal bases. Mitch Haniger should be stealing bases, too. It's always good to have that guy around you who has that experience. And D. Gordon's going to be aggressive about it. This is, you know, a huge part of his game, something that he really takes pride in. So, you know, let's hope we see a lot of stolen bases this year.
No, especially that speed at the top. You think about a guy like Cano or a guy like Gene as well. It gets you a lot of doubles. I mean, Gordon is a guy that can score from first base with that kind of speed easily, with a ball in the gap. So we know D. Gordon values scoring runs, and he's got a chance to score, I think, a ton of runs at the top of this order.
And the thing for Cano, Cruz, and Seager, and Haniger, and Healy, and Zunino, the guys that are going to hit behind those two, Gordon and Segura, they're going to see a lot more fastballs. Because even when he's not running and stealing, he's a threat to steal just about every time that he's on base. So these guys are going to have a lot of fun swinging the bat behind these two.
Well, anything that just takes even a little bit of concentration away from the hitter is always a good thing. And you can see it. It really bothers pitchers at times when you have a guy like Gordon who you know can fly and wants to be aggressive stealing a bag.
And now it's likely the catcher can't come down and settle down that pitcher.
Exactly.
There you go.
He's got to wait.
Strategy.
I tell you what, it's going to be fun because those two guys are the top of the order. They have in their careers have had 200 or more hits in a single season. They will be on base for the big bats behind them. That's a look at our first hour here in the Cactus League Report. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to visit with Mariner catcher Mike Zunino. I'll tell you what, he's always busy at spring training. What a turnaround for Zunino last year. We'll also visit with Anthony Castrovince from MajorLeagueBaseball.com. That's in the second hour coming up on the Cactus League Report from Peoria, Arizona, where 2018 spring training is underway. Stay tuned. More coming from Peoria right after this timeout.